Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages on the subject, Focus on the Family. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1, as we take a look in the book.
Three hundred years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch was 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. Now, I thought we had read that earlier. He walked with God. God is emphasizing that, ain't he? He's already told you. See, when something is told one time, that's enough right there. But when God makes mention of it twice, he's emphasizing it. God says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. What is I'm talking about when I say walk with God? I'm saying he had fellowship with God. You know what fellowship is. The old preachers used to say it's like two fellas in the same ship rowing in the same direction. That's what fellowship is. He's walking with God. He's in fellowship with God. Listen, in other words, Enoch is taking this thing to another level. See, it's one thing to work for God, but it's another thing to stay in God's office. You're constantly in the boss man's face. See, it's one thing to work out there for the boss, but it's another thing to be hanging out with the boss. That's what Enoch was. Enoch was walking with the boss. He was walking with God each and every day of his life. And that lets me know the kind of man that Enoch was. Enoch must have been a godly man. Yeah. See, you tell what kind of person that you are by the company that you keep. See, thugs hang out with thugs. Thieves hang out with thieves. Alcoholics hang out with alcoholics. Drug addicts hang out with drug addicts. Pimps hang out with pimps. Prostitutes hang out with prostitutes. Liars hang out with liars. Gamblers hang out with gamblers. Whatever kind of person you are, that's the kind of person that you hang out with. The old folks would say birds of the same feather flock together. Lord have mercy. And so we see that Enoch must have been a godly man, because the Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? And so his life was in agreement with God. Now, a lot of young folks say, I ain't ready to walk with God yet, though. I don't know if I'm ready yet to turn my life over to the Lord yet and walk with God. And he asked him, why is that, bro? He said, because I may miss out on something. I think I'm too young right now to give my life on over to the Lord. I may miss out on something. Look like I'm going to miss out on some stuff. Yeah, you're going to miss out on some stuff. Let me just say, you're going to miss out on some stuff. Yeah, because right here in the text, the Bible lets us know Enoch missed out on some stuff. Verse number 24, and Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not. He was not. He was not what? He was not found. First of all, he was not found in various circles. You couldn't find him in various circles. Why? Because he was walking with God. See, when you are walking with somebody, that means that somebody else you're not walking with. When you are walking with God, that means you're not walking with the world. So Enoch was not found in certain circles. And he missed out on something. What did he miss out on? Three things. He missed out on a lot of sinful stuff in a sinful world. That's what he missed out on. Second thing he missed out on a lot of unnecessary suffering. And the third thing he missed out on death. And when you walk with God, them the same three things that you miss out on. That's what you're going to miss out on. You're going to miss out on a lot of sinful stuff out there in the world. That's what you're going to miss out on. And you're going to miss out on a lot of unnecessary suffering. See, as long as you're on this planet, you're going to suffer. But you ought not be suffering unnecessary. Life is hard enough. Don't be bringing no unnecessary stuff in your life. And you even miss out on the sting of death. Death is different for a believer than how it used to be in the Old Testament. It used to have a sting in it, but since Jesus Christ died for your sin on Calvary's cross, he has taken the sting out of death. So when a Christian died now, you just buy your eyes room here, but you're going to open up just like that up there. And so death happens so fast for you, you won't even know it. You miss out on something. But quit focusing on what you don't have. Start focusing on what you do have when you start walking with Jesus Christ. You got somebody who's big. You got somebody who's strong, who's somebody who can handle life problems for you. See, when we are walking by ourselves, we are loaded down with the cares of this world. We got pack sacks of problems in our life. We got a lot of bad luggage, a lot of bad baggage, and we are just, and it's causing us to stumble and fall. We are trying to make it alone in life. Because we got all of this baggage. Sometimes we even mess up other people's life. with all this baggage. We trying to live life. But life ain't being too good to us. But somebody tell us about Jesus. And Jesus comes into our life. Help me, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Jesus. Yeah. First of all, Jesus turns me around. He gets me turned around. He turns me around. Amen. Amen. But see, I don't know Jesus well enough yet. So I still can. My back, even though I'm going in the right direction, I still got my baggage and everything. But see, I start trusting in it. Because every time I stumble and by fall, he catching me. So I let him have some of my bag. But I still got some of my other bags. Because I still don't know him that well just yet. But like I say, every time I'm falling, he always there to help me. So I trust him with a little bit more. But as we're going along life journey, I still got something that's kind of weighing me down. I still got some. Sometimes you take one step forward, but you're taking two steps back. Because you still got some baggage. But he's still always by my side. So I think I'm going to trust him with this other baggage. And now we can go on with our journey. Amen. Amen. But notice what he do with my baggage. He don't stay in my life with the baggage because I keep focusing on it. He'll put that baggage away. As far as the east, it's separated from the west. Now, you notice what I'm doing. I'm waiting on him. I ain't gonna get ahead of it. I know how it is when you're walking by yourself. I need him on my journey. Matter of fact, I think I'm gonna grab a hold to him and let him grab a hold to me as we walk on this journey. All right, give him a hand. Give him a hand. God bless you. So quit focusing on what you don't have. You better start focusing on what you do have when you got Jesus Christ in your life, walking with God. And so a man of honor works for God. Number two, he walks with God. But thirdly, he witnessed for God. He witnessed for God. Notice the Bible said in verse 24, I'm almost done. For God took him. The question is, why did God take him? There's many reasons, but I'm going to just give you one today, because if I give you the other, it would be for another sermon. But the Bible says, I believe one reason that God took him, because Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, it said that he had a testimony. In other words, he had been tried, he had been tested, and he had passed the test. And now he was a witness for God. When you read Jude, and Jude only have one chapter, beginning around verse number 14, 15, and 16, it talks about how he preached to his generation. He prophesied to his generation of the coming judgment of God. He believed in that God was going to judge this world. Oh, and he went out and he began to witness to his generation. But then he also began to witness to his children. And see, that's the thing about the devil. The devil don't care nothing about your titles. What the devil is scared of is a Christian that know that he got a testimony. See, you can't bag the devil up. See, this world focus on titles, but the devil ain't scared of your title. You can say, I'm the lead man there at Frito-Lay. The devil ain't scared of no lead man for no Frito-Lay. You can say, I'm the foreman out there at Frito-Lay. He said, I ain't scared of no foreman at no Frito-Lay. You can say that I'm a supervisor at Frito-Lay. He ain't scared of no supervisor at Frito-Lay. You can say, I'm the manager out there at Frito-Lay. He ain't scared of no manager out there at Frito-Lay. You can say, I'm the district manager for Frito-Lay. He ain't scared of no district manager for no Frito-Lay. You can say, I'm the vice president for Frito-Lay. He ain't scared of no vice president for no Frito-Lay. You can say, I'm the president of Frito-Lay. He ain't scared of no president of no Frito-Lay. You can say, I'm the CEO of Frito-Lay. But he ain't scared of no CEO or no Frito-Lay. What is he scared of? He ain't scared of no title. He's scared of your testimony. Yeah. Because a testimony is an infectious thing. Your effect other people. It's just like cancer. When you got a testimony, you're not going to contain it to yourself. This thing is going to start spreading. You're going to share your testimony with your wife. You're going to share your testimony with your son. You're going to share your testimony with your daughter. You're going to change your household. But then when you propel them and they get married, then they're going to start sharing that testimony. And because they're saved, now they got a testimony. And they're going to share it with their son. They're going to share it with their daughter. They're going to share it with their family. And because you done saved them and you propel them, they're going to go get married. Then they're going to have children. And then they're going to save their family. They're going to save their sons, their daughter. See, the devil is scared of your testimony. Amen. See, right there in the text, that's exactly what Enoch did. Enoch, when you read the text, he had a son named Methuselah. Well, when Methuselah got saved, then he shared his testimony to his son, Lamech. And then when Lamech got saved, he shared his testimony to his son, Noah. And when Noah got saved, God was able to use Noah and his three sons to save the world. See, you can save the world with your testimony. The Bible says we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by testimony. That's what the devil is scared of. That's why if I had to choose between a man that got a title and a man that got a testimony, I'm going with a man that got a testimony every time. Because when the devil come into our life, your title can't bag him up. Your position can't bag him up. But when you know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins, you know that you done been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know that you are saved. You know that you filled with the Holy Ghost. You know that you know your Bible. You know who you are, and you know whose you are. Then you can beat the devil. Hallelujah. With. That's why the songwriter said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Here it is. I once was lost. See my testimony? But now, I'm found. I was blind. But now, I can see. Do I have a witness today? I say, do I have a witness today? I say, do I have a witness today? Do I, as I'm talking to anybody that got a testimony. As I come to a close, I was reading this week and I was reading a story about Joshua Chamberlain. Joshua Chamberlain was a 34-year-old school teacher from Maine. But during that particular time, the Civil War broke out, and so he joined the Union Army. And he had worked up to becoming a colonel in the Union Army, and he found himself on the battlefield there at Gettysburg. His commander-in-chief told him, "Joshua, whatever you do, hold the line. We cannot let these Confederate soldiers break through and win this battle of Gettysburg. They win this battle of Gettysburg, they will win the war. So hold the line. Whatever you do, make sure that we hold this line." Well, the Confederate soldiers began to start attacking in waves. They came the first time. The Union soldiers held the line. They came again the second time. The Union soldiers held the line. They came the third time. The Union soldiers, they held the line. Right after they had held the line the third time, one of the soldiers ran back and he said, "I hate to bring some bad news, sir, but we have lost Colonel Vinson. Colonel Vinson is dead. That means now you're in charge." Joshua Chamberlain He said, let me get a report then. He says, how many men do we have? Go find out. Came back, said, we have 80 men. Says, all we got is 80. He says, give me an ammunition report. How much ammunition we have? He said, we don't really have no more ammunition. The only ammunition we have is the ammunition that the men have in their musket now. He said, we don't have no ammunition. He said, what we'll do, we'll just go and get some ammunition off of these Confederate soldiers and from these dead soldiers. But by the time he was saying that, another wave of Confederate soldiers was coming up the hill. So they didn't have time to do any of that. He says, all right. He says, men, get your bayonet. Get your bayonet. In other words, your knife at the end of your gun. And he says, I want y'all to line up and let's face these soldiers that's coming. And when I give the command to charge, he says, I want you to run as fast as you can down this hill. And we're going to charge towards the enemy. He stood up on the wall. Then he jumped off the wall and he said, charge! And he led the charge. And as he was coming down the hill, the Confederate soldiers were coming up the hill. The Confederate soldiers began to see what was happening. It put fear in their hearts when they saw those men charging down the hill. Even though it was just 80 of them, they said, it's got to be more than just 80. They must have some reinforcement coming. This is nothing but an ambush. They dropped their gun. As a matter of fact, one of them was a captain. And he says, who are you? He says, I'm your commander. Let me have your gun. He took his gun. Joshua Chamberlain and the Union soldiers had held the line. And they won the Battle of Gettysburg. As a result, they was able to win the war. But a few years later, Joshua Chamberlain ended up being the governor of Maine. And he received a letter. And it was really an anonymous letter. He said, sir, you really don't know me, but I know you. He says, I am of the 15th Regiment of Alabama. That same army that was fighting against you there at Gettysburg. He says, I was a soldier that had you in my sight. You was right there in my sight. And when I had pulled my gun and I cocked it and I got ready to shoot you, something said, don't do it. He said, I wiped off my brow. I cleaned my sweat. So I took another aim again because I had you right in my sight. But something told me, don't do it. And so I just listened to that voice, and I walked away. He said, but I'm so happy today, not only for my sake, but for your sake, too, that I listened to that voice, and I did.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.